Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, 5 and 16. Matthew 6, 1, 2, 5, and 16. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, that they also have received their reward. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses.
Good morning. I want to thank Brother John for that reading. And we're going to continue on my study of different topics or lessons taught from the Sermon on the Mount. And as you can tell by the range of verses that I had John read, we're going to cover the first 18 verses of Matthew chapter 6. And if you remember from my last time that I had up here, we studied in Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus was criticizing the Pharisees and the spiritual leaders for their the way they were falsely applying the law to their lives. They were doing it in part. They were doing it in ways to allow them to more easily attain righteousness that they were seeking. And Jesus corrected them about these the false approach they were making towards this. And he restored the message of the law, what they were, the true intention behind it, and the way they should approach it. And he told them that they had failed and that they were in need of the Savior that had come and actually was speaking to them from this message. And so today we're going to talk about how people apply the message, and on these three topics we're going to talk about, and how he's saying you need to do it from a different approach. It's like, are you doing it to be seen of others? Or are you doing it to honor God, the purpose that it was mentioned? And I don't know why I've always remembered this line from this TV show, but it kind of applies. On the 1970s TV show, of Happy Days, I think we all are familiar with that show, and there was another show called Laverne and Shirley, and Laverne and Shirley was a spinoff from that show. And they spun off because they had a double date with Fonzie and Richie. And Richie dressed up in a suit and tie, and he had a little handkerchief in his pocket. And I think it was Laverne said, "Oh, that's a nice handkerchief. Is that for showing or for blowing?" And I don't know why I have always remembered that line, but it was like, is that just to look pretty, or is that something that if you have to sneeze, you're going to pull out, and you're going to use it for its intended purpose? And that's what Jesus is talking about here in these 18 verses. Is what you're doing for showing? Is it just being used to draw attention to yourself, make people notice you? Or is it being used in the proper way for the function that it was intended? And that is to give glory to God without seeking attention for ourselves. And so that's kind of, if you can keep that visual image in your head, that's really what we're speaking about this morning. Now you'll notice In kind of the reason why I had John break it up the way it is, because I didn't want to have him read 18 verses. But there are really three topics that are being addressed here. It's about giving, praying, and fasting. Those are the areas in which you're going to see. And so he addresses these, and there are some similarities in these three sections. In each section, he begins a warning. He gives a warning, and that's mostly what I have. And John, I do apologize. I realized I meant to have you read 16 instead of 18, but that is my fault. Just lack of sleep last night when I was giving that to you. And so he begins each segment with a warning and tells them what it is that they should not be doing. And then he will follow up and teach them what it is that they are to do. And those are going to be found in verses 3 and 4, verse 6, and verses 17 and 18. And so there's a section there right in the middle that, for sake of time and so forth, we will not really cover today. And that's the area kind of right in the middle of these verses that is what is typically or commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And so after he is telling them what they shouldn't do about praying and then what they should do about praying, he then goes in and gives this model prayer, this example prayer that, you know, it was intended, I think it was not intended to be recited the way it is today. It was just that. It was an example. It was showing you this is the approach, this is the attitude you should have when you're praying. And so, like I said, for just sake of time, and really it's not really the focus of the approach I wanted to take on these verses, but it is bookended by different warnings about these activities and these actions that we should be doing. And so we'll look at the significance of some of these as we go on with our lesson, but for now just wanted to focus on that structure, the warning versus the example of what should be done. So the fact that he touched on three topics doesn't mean this is an exhaustive bit of example. Just these are three that he was showing. And as we know, the scriptures, through repetition, will make the point. And so by giving three examples, he's just further stressing the reasoning behind his thinking about, well, showing versus blowing. He is not... he's not limiting it just these three, and so that is what we can take from this. And so basically what he's saying here is that we all need to be practicing righteousness in our life. We need to be providing good works in our life, and that is really the basis of being a Christian, helping others, working for others. When I was in Matthew chapter 5, focusing on different things, I didn't do a lesson on, like, letting your light shine. I figured that's, we've all heard topics on that. But in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5, he does say, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So that's the basis. I mean, remember, this is all one talk. Chapter 6 isn't a different talk. So that's something that Jesus had touched on, about we are to do good works. And he says it is for the purpose of giving glory to our Father in heaven. And so with that in mind, he's here just a few verses after verse 16 in chapter 5. He's now coming back to this thought of what good works is. Good works should always be, the purpose and the end result should be glory, God being glorified. But the Pharisees weren't doing this. They were... If they weren't, Jesus wouldn't have been presenting this line of reasoning or thought to them. But they were doing this. They were doing things to glorify themselves and not intending for God to get that glory. So by issuing these warnings, he's teaching his disciples, those that truly do want to follow him and truly do want to be his, he's providing them these examples of what to do and what they must not do when we do good works for the Lord. And so the warning is that we are not to do these things, and our motivation should not be drawing attention. Hey, look at what I did. That's not the motivation that we should have. In verse 1 it says, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. So these good works are being tied to righteousness. And by doing so, It can't be just so people will see what a great person we are, that we'll come and get a slap on our back for doing whatever the case may be. In verse 5, we're told that people were praying in the synagogues and in street corners to be seen of others. They were doing this publicly, openly, wanting people to notice how pious this person is. Oh, look how great they are. Look what great words in their speech is, you know, flowerful and flowery. And that's not what we're supposed to do. In verse 16, they said they would basically make themselves look almost ill or sick. I think English Standard uses the word disfiguring their faces. You know, putting a sad look on, I'm sure, is probably what is being meant there. And they were doing this while they were fasting. So people would come up to them, "Oh, are you fasting?" And draw attention to themselves. And so from these examples, it's clear we should not have the desire to be doing these works of righteousness and have people realize that we're doing works of righteousness. Our motivation can't be, say, "Well, I'm still doing good, but I'd like people to realize that I'm doing good." That's not what we need to be doing. And so Jesus does talk about this, like I said, as he did these warnings and then he went on. Our motivation, if our motivation is for self-glorification when we do these things, Jesus says in verse 2, well, then we've received all the reward that we're going to have. We are not going to have any reward from our Father in heaven, which is touched on in verse 1. And so we have to listen to that and let it sink in. We can't do these things in the hopes of gaining our heavenly reward if we're doing it to gain also a reward here on earth. It's not an and, it's an either or situation. And so the praise of people recognizing the great works we are doing, well, that's the only thing that's going to be coming to us. It's useless and it's temporary. And when we're all facing an eternal judgment, temporary doesn't go very far. And so we get people to honor us for what we did, but we've exchanged our heavenly reward for that, for this temporary moment of praise that honestly people will forget about within a few minutes of recognizing what you did. But the Lord, if you do it for him, it will not be a temporary moment of reward. It will be a permanent reward in eternity. And second, doing good for God, like I said, people will say, well, at least we're doing good, but God's not going to view it that way. If we're doing it for ourselves, then we are not honoring God, we're honoring us. And so our hearts need to be coming at this work of righteousness from the right perspective, that we've been commanded to do these things, and we should be doing it because of our love for the Father and our love for each other. We should all not be motivated by self, but by having the proper heart towards the Lord. So how easy it is to have other people know what we are doing, though. How hard it is to not draw attention to ourselves. Even when I was preparing this lesson, I thought, well, I could mention it. I did this thing years ago and no one ever knew about it. That would be drawing attention to myself. So I purposely didn't mention anything that I may have done in the past. Because we are, as Jesus says, we are not to blow a horn and draw attention to ourselves when we do these things. And even as an example, I didn't want to fall into that category. And so we shouldn't be advertising our abilities or what we're doing. Don't, don't seek out those things of attention. Do you ever wonder why people, the Irvin J. Nutter Center is where the Wright State basketball team plays their games. It's where concerts come forth and so forth. Does anyone here did they have any idea who Irvin J. Nutter was prior? Okay, I see a few people. I did not. And I the doubt is you don't count. You weren't around here when, and probably others. But the idea is that we all know who Irvin J. Nutter is, or at least existed, because his name is on that arena. And so people give money for these things for some level of attention. If you truly are just doing it for the goodness of your heart, you can do things anonymously. We all know that given by an anonymous donor, well, that's how the Lord wants us to approach these things. But people will gladly put Irvin J. Nutter's name on an arena or any other example that you can think of because they know people will give if they have their name on such with such honor. And so people will do things to, just in general, just in the world, not necessarily in the church, what I want to draw that distinction. People generally want to bring praise to themselves. People want that attention. And so people are glory seekers and sometimes even glory thieves, trying to steal what someone else did honestly. And so this case, we're stealing honor from the Lord by drawing it upon ourselves. And that's the sin that we have to fight against. And so in each three of these examples, you'll notice that Jesus, after talking about these things, what not to do, he calls them each hypocrites. And so there should be no confusion here when we're reading these passages what side we want to be on. No one wants to be called a hypocrite. No one wants to be labeled a hypocrite. And so if we find ourselves doing the side that Jesus is telling them not to do, then that's what we need to focus on. When you're being fake and you're doing that, then your reward is here, and we've lost our reward with the Lord. And so, I want to skip down because I'm kind of running a little bit out of time, but Jesus says that a person can give every appearance of being righteous and not end up being righteous at all. And so they can play the part, they can act out the role of being this righteous person, but they can be called a hypocrite, even though it looks like that they're doing the right thing. And so for us today, we've all known people that have claimed to be Christians. We have a lot of coworkers. I'm sure even all of us can think of examples of people who claim to be Christians, but are just acting out. Just this week, Shelly and I were sitting down for lunch, and as you do when you're on a cruise, you talk to people around you. And there was a woman sitting next to us, and she started talking to us, and she was telling us about how she didn't drink because she was saved. And I forget what church she said. She was saved in 2002, but I could have a drink or two here. Well, that's not how Christian life is. If you're dedicated to it, you don't make exceptions. And so we have to be honest with ourselves. And so Jesus then goes on, and then after giving these warnings, he tells us how to practice being righteous. The principle of how to live before God is laid out for us in verse 3. It says, "Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." And so he's saying, when you act for God, forget about yourselves and forget about others. Keep what you're doing between yourself and between God. Don't announce what you're doing, even to your own heart. Do not make a big deal about it, even in your own mind. And do not seek your own glory for these acts of righteousness and kindness. We can't do it and say, man, that I was a good person. Even that would be stealing some of the glory for God. By giving ourselves internal self-praise, Jesus is saying here in verse 3 that isn't the reason why we should do it. It's not a reaction. And so this illustration that is so bizarre that our left hand doesn't know what our right hand is should show how difficult this is, even internally, that we don't have this desire to feel good about ourselves. But what a great thing we did here. And so in verse 6, he says, when you pray, you are to go into your room and shut the door, implying that you're not to stand on the street corner. You're not to go stand in the synagogue. And when you're fasting, Jesus says to wash your face and anoint your head so that you don't reveal what you're doing for the Lord. And so I was thinking about this. Today, most of us don't fast. I know of people that do. I used to work with a woman that she would fast every week, one or two days. And that's what she was wanting to do. But the fact that I know about it, kind of eliminates a little bit of the purpose. But if someone came in today looking poorly, I don't think any of us would say, John's fasting. That's why he looks. No, it'd be lack of sleep or, are you feeling okay? Did you catch a cold or something like that? So this message isn't something that we would necessarily, but really we might give off an appearance that we want people to notice things that we're doing. That may be the message that we can apply here and learn. And so we may think that, well, if we don't come straight out and just tell people about it, but if they maybe ask us a question, yeah, I did do that. Yeah, I left enough clues that people were able to figure out that I was doing something. And so we can't act in certain ways where people will discover or be able to know about what works of righteousness or kindness that we actually did. So we are to just do what we're called to do and don't think what others think, or don't be concerned that people won't know about it. And if others know, well, then we have to consider, do we really have our proper motivation if we did it and people were able to find out? And Jesus says three times in verse 4, verse 6, and verse 18 that your Father sees what it is that you're doing. He sees it in secret, and the reward will be attained. And so if you're a hypocrite, then the secret things that you were doing and the sins you are committing, well, you may think no one else knows about you, but God knows as well. It goes with the good and the bad. If you're pure in heart and doing things with the proper motivation, then the secret things you were doing and the righteous acts that you're committing, well, God will know that as well. And so your righteous acts will be found out. For God knows what it is we're doing and the motivation that we have. And so all that should matter to us is that the Lord sees that. And doesn't matter that no one else does, and there's no recognition that's going to come our way other than from the Lord. So just really as in closing, so how can we work in the kingdom in a way that the Lord approves? And so we have to have how can we make sure that we have the proper motives? Excuse me. Before we do these acts. And so we should just basically ask ourselves, what are we hoping to gain from doing this? Are we doing it for personal glory? Are we doing it because we know it's what we should be doing and because we know that the Lord will be glorified through it? If we're doing these things because we want others to think well of us, well then we are going to be in jeopardy of not receiving our final reward. And so based upon the structure of this lesson, prayer really is a critical component. I mentioned that he provides the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer in the middle there. He did that because prayer is such an important part of this. And so if we pray with the right heart, we pray that God's will be done. Pray that God is glorified and not us. And pray for the joy of knowing that by doing these acts, we are being pleasing to God. And we have to have prayer at the forefront of any of these acts of righteousness or kindness that we do. Brother Grushon has the prayer, and after that prayer, he will then lead us in our class.